We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Let's see how we roll on this Tuesday from the Palatial Finley Chevrolet Studios. I am Paul Ihander, and Lindsey Brown, as we practice social distancing, is in what studios?
This is the LB35 Studios.
Okay.
Yes.
That was a full workshop day.
Okay, we forgot, Paul. We've been busy.
Oh my goodness.
We've been real busy, okay, Paul? Real busy.
Your bathroom must be spotless.
Yeah, we haven't been busy in there yet.
Okay.
We haven't hit that corner up. I try to roll through there about once a week, but I have a tendency to forget. But we will. I'm going to write it down on a post-it note right now, just
right,
so I remember.
That'll be helpful. Playmakers with you on this Tuesday afternoon. We do have some breaking news here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. Breaking news brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. Now in two great tropical flavors, the third fight between heavyweight world champ Tyson Fury and former titleist Deontay Wilder will not be on July 18th here in Las Vegas. It was supposed to be at the MGM Grand, but top-ranked chairman Bob Arum telling ESPN today they are pushing it back into the fall at some time. That's pretty much where it is right now. Round three, I guess. So the third fight between, it would be Wilder Fury 3, which was supposed to take place July 18th, now being pushed back into the fall. Arum unfortunately said of the bout being on July 18th, quote, "We don't even know if the MGM will even be open by then." Fingers crossed that it will be.
Yeah, I mean, even if it is open, you have to think about these guys and what their training regimens are and what that takes to prepare for those fights. And because we're dealing with a bunch of disruptions, especially with gyms, I'm not saying that they wouldn't be able to get into one, but you could pretty much say, well, we're not going to have a fair, you know, preparation period, so we should push this fight off regardless of where we are in terms of public participation in the next few weeks.
Yeah, MMA fighters are already having trouble getting into gyms, let alone just you and I not being able to roll in and get some workouts done. I know there's some places around here delivering treadmills and things like that, so.
Oh, well, I am not ordering one of those, but I'm glad that everybody else is taking that motivational journey with themselves.
Well, the Vegas Golden Knights just started a workout program today online, so that'll get you motivated, right? You do some push-ups and burpees.
So much motivation. I might have to do a couple of my own based off of what I used to do for coaching and whatnot. Let me tell you, there are no push-ups involved.
Gotcha. Okay.
You don't need them.
Let's get you the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
And by the way, before we forget, coming up at 3:17, play-by-play broadcaster for your Los Angeles Dodgers, Tim Neverett, will be joining us to talk about baseball and just kind of shoot the garbage with us because, you know, he's probably calling play-by-play of snow falling.
Yeah.
That's coming up at 3:17. But our number one story this afternoon, the postponement, of course, of the Tokyo Olympics apparently has now opened up the window for the Stanley Cup playoffs to be held this summer. It was part of a question and answer sheet circulated along with a league memo. The NHL also had a teleconference with the Board of Governors because they can now extend the playoffs if everything is back on schedule. Beyond July the 24th, that's when the Olympics in Tokyo were originally set to get underway. So for the NHL, the window's open a little bit wider for them to try to crown a champion this season without having to run too hard into a full season, which they plan to play in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, I think this all pretty much sums up to the TV rights. I mean, NBC carries the Olympics and NBC carries the Stanley Cup playoffs throughout its entirety. Every single game is aired on national television on either the mainstream or on NBC Sports. But yeah, I think this is definitely a good thing for the NHL. And honestly, maybe this is the favor the IOC can finally kind of inadvertently walk or back into to mend some fences with the hockey community. Maybe this could spell good fortune for us all.
As Lindsay mentioned, the NBC carries both the Olympics and the NHL, which could again turn into some extra time in terms of value for the NHL. And when do they actually come back? Is it the middle of May? Is it the middle of summer? Or maybe we're not even talking till the end of August. At least there's now a 2-week wider window when it comes to television broadcasts.
Number two.
All right, so the coronavirus is taking its toll, certainly on paychecks. We know this for a fact here in Las Vegas. It's also happening across the National Hockey League, where the NHL is cutting the pay of league office employees by a quarter starting at the end of the month. There are still 189 games left on the league schedule in the regular season. Again, as we were just talking about, we'll see where that goes. The Montreal Canadiens are reducing their workforce, although they have a $6 million assistance fund to help out their employees there, which will make sure that they'll still get 80% of base salary, as well as take care of some employment insurance benefits, and they also will be able to provide loans. So that's what the Canadiens are doing. And then, in a reversal of course, the organization that owns the New Jersey Devils and Philadelphia 76ers said they will no longer have a planned salary reduction there. They were going to have everyone take a 20% pay cut, but after listening to staff and players, all the employees will still get full salaries.
Yeah, the walk back by that organization who owns both the Devils and the 76ers clearly was a little more tone deaf, and definitely as you said, they heard it and were brave enough and just honest enough to walk it back, which I think is good. And it's tough because we're going to see these kind of first little ripple effects where, you know, we're not just in the shock phase of this entire change that we're all going through, and it's just, There's no really easy way to handle it, but I wouldn't start by taking money away from the employees, at least in the bottom ranks. I think there are people in those organizations that make plenty of money that could probably suffer a missed paycheck or two more so than your everyday worker for those organizations.
And there was a report that at least some of those with the higher paychecks were going to participate in the program. That included 76ers GM Elton Brand, as well as the Devils president Jake Reynolds. So there were some sacrifices that are going to be made, but apparently that staff, there will be no salary reduction. Everyone will still get paid fully, and they actually issued an apology. The founder of the entertainment company saying to our staff and fans, "I apologize for getting this wrong." So everyone trying to do what they can as we make our way in this new normal for sure here in the world.
Yeah, and good on them for mitigating their mistake and owning up to it.
Number three.
So, Peyton said no. Yeah, apparently sources telling the New York Post, ESPN capped its proposed offer to Tony Romo at 10 years and $140 million, and apparently ESPN was looking to, pay him roughly the same, but the overriding factor was whether Manning actually wanted to enter the broadcast booth and commit to the weekly schedule. But, you know, he's had front office aspirations for a while, but wanted to sit out and see how things go. I know you'd be in favor of him taking over in Denver.
Oh, absolutely. I think that he could probably help locate that team's next franchise quarterback or wherever he wants to work. But I still think he could be in the broadcast booth. I just don't think he's going to do it with just some average Joe. I think Al Michaels or another prestigious name that probably isn't available right now for this deal to kind of come together. So it kind of makes sense how he backed off. But you know, it is a missed opportunity for Peyton and then for all of us in some ways.
For sure. For sure. ESPN, we were dreaming of the Peyton Manning / Al Michaels booth, but NBC doesn't want to trade Michaels, who still has 2 years left on his deal. Although, now, with the Olympics being postponed, maybe NBC would be open to making that trade.
Yeah. Oh, well, now we're talking. Now we're conspirizing. Look at us go.
I know, for sure.
Number four.
All right, so Tom Brady, who was on a conference call with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and fans talking about how he was, you know, moving on to Tampa Bay. He is helping them sell a lot of tickets, not just season tickets, but apparently a lot of bookmaking tickets as well. William Hill, our friends over there, tell us that Tampa is now on 2 in every 3 betting tickets to win the NFC South Championship.
Ooh.
And 86% of the dollars are directed towards the Buccaneers. The odds to win the division moving from 5-1 to 7-4. However, the Saints are still the favorites in the NFC South.
Yeah, I don't know about this much movement because, you know, that was a pretty tough division over the last couple seasons anyways. So, and obviously with the quarterbacks that now populate each of those four teams, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is probably bringing up the rear there, which is saying something with that squad and Christian McCaffrey. So it's going to be a very popular bet, but one, you know, they could pay off, but I'm not as dead set and sure as a lot of people probably are on Tom Brady's arrival in Tampa.
Saints have attracted 14% of the tickets. Falcons have 10%. Panthers dead last. Just meow.
Dead last.
Meow.
Number five.
All right, so there is this thing called a no pitch in baseball, and there's one big example of it. As 19 years ago today, the big unit, Randy Johnson, splatted a bird with a pitch in a
craziest video ever.
A spring training game involving the Diamondbacks and the Giants on March the 24th, 2001. This was actually the World Series year. And there are lots of reasons why umpires could rule a no pitch, and this is the most glaring example of it because it's not a ball, it's not a strike, and it's not a balk. It's a no pitch. They literally should, like they have the tuck rule in the NFL, they literally should just call this the Randy Johnson pitch. We're calling a Randy.
Or the combustible. That's what it was.
Oh,
you see what I did there?
Yeah. The Diamondbacks put a TikTok together, actually, to music of the bird blowing up.
Oh, jeez. R.I.P. too soon.
It's pretty brutal. Apparently, the no-pitch call is so well-known, there are more Google searches for Randy Johnson bird than there are for Randy Johnson baseball.
Really? That's crazy. Yeah. I was
guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he was honestly on my Hall of Fame roster back in the day for backyard baseball when they did the Major League Baseball crossover. He could not run, but gee dang it, he could throw. And like I said, literally the bird blew up. Like all the feathers. It's bizarre and one of the most crazy moments I think that's ever been captured that's sports related ever.
Yeah. Sploosh. March 24th, 2001. Spring training. Yeah. R.I.P. Pigeon.
Yeah. Alfred Hitchcock was not excited.
That's your check down today. Your five biggest stories of this Tuesday afternoon. Coming up next, we're going to check in with an idle voice, but again, we'll see what kind of exciting play-by-play calls he might be making in his downtime. Tim Neverett's going to join us, broadcaster for your Los Angeles Dodgers.
CBS Sports Radio. You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Iander, Lindsey Brown with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for making us a part of your day and trying to feed you as many notables from the sports world as we possibly can, including some inside information, some special guests. We have one of those special guests on the line. We last heard him, I guess it's been maybe a couple of weeks ago on a call of a spring training game. It seems so long ago. Los Angeles Dodgers play-by-play broadcaster Tim Neverett joining us here on the Playmakers. Timmy, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, no problem, Paul. Anytime. Lindsey, how are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
We know, Timmy, that where you're at, you're hunkered down on the East Coast, right? So this is definitely not Camelback Ranch, correct?
Correct. I needed some social distancing, so I went to New Hampshire. But it's funny because we got about 4 inches of snow, 5 inches of snow last night, and I wasn't ready for that after the beautiful weather we had in Arizona. And, you know, the whole time we're at spring training, it was like a big fat tease, you know, for baseball season, the way things have turned out. Obviously, what's happening is far more important than anything, you know, in terms of winning and losing a baseball game. But, it was different because the day that we were told that the rest of the spring games were going to be canceled and to go home until further notice, I was able to get a red eye out of there that night. And I was actually in Las Vegas and got the word at lunchtime in Las Vegas from the lunch I was at. I got up and literally got in a car and went 4.5 hours straight to Phoenix and then packed up and was able to catch a plane in time to get back here.
Now, Tim, there was and is so much excitement around this newly retooled Dodgers squad with all the new faces they've added. How do you think this pause on the baseball season and sports affects the settling process for players that are either dealing with a new team because of free agency or the young players just starting to develop those foundational habits? Do you think that there are some advantages and some disadvantages to just having this long of a latency period?
Not really. Not too much. I think that the time down is probably the worst for the starting pitchers more than anything. I think the relief pitchers, those guys will be ready to go. The position players will be ready to go. And I, you know, the two biggest newcomers are Mookie Betts and David Price, and they pretty much had almost a month with their new teammates anyway. Once they reconvene, it'll be like they never left. So I do think that while you're kind of, I guess what they're calling is deloading at this point in time. The pitchers were getting built up to a point. I mean, literally tonight would have been the final exhibition. It would have been the only exhibition at Dodger Stadium. Would have been the last game of the Freeway Series, Angels and Dodgers, before opening day on Thursday. So the pitchers would have all been pretty well stretched out to about 6 innings, 100 pitches or so, and ready for the start of the regular season. Now they take that step back. While some of them continue to work out, they need to stay on target somewhat because when they do reconvene, and we don't know when that's going to be, but they're going to have to be a little bit more ready to go then for what we would figure would be some kind of abbreviated spring training before the start of what will probably be an abbreviated season.
Tim Neverett, Los Angeles Dodgers play-by-play broadcaster, joining us here on the Playmakers. Paul and Lindsay and Timmy, as you have the downtime here, did you get a chance to really stretch out as well? I mean, I know for broadcasters, spring training is also a chance for you guys to catch up and warm up and, you know, rekindle the spirit and the camaraderie with your play-by-play partners, not just on radio but on television as well.
Yeah, you know, it's true. You know, there's a lot to that, Paul, that people don't get. It is true because we do three kinds of broadcasts. We do radio only, we do TV only, and we do radio TV simulcasts, which we don't do during the regular season, but it's more of a radio call so that our radio affiliates like yourself get a radio call and it doesn't sound like a TV game. Yeah, it does take a little bit to bang off the rust. And you know, both Rick Monday and I were pretty happy about the schedule because he and I had, you know, more than 20 games on our schedule to do. Of course, the back half of mine and his also got lopped off because of a suspension of spring training. But, you know, you're starting to feel like, okay, I needed to work on this or I should have done this a little bit differently. But, yeah, you do bang off the rust. You don't just sit in there after an off season. Even though I did some college events here and there in the off season, it's not the same, you know, when you sit in there and do baseball on the radio again. But you need to bang the rust off, and I don't know what's going to happen with an abbreviated spring training. I would imagine there'll be some games, and I don't know if they're going to broadcast them or not. I would imagine perhaps, but I don't know either way. But yeah, it does. You know, spring training is not just for the players. Broadcasters do get some use out of it, too.
Yeah, and Tim, we're dealing with a situation where, like you said, we don't really know when we're going to be able to start and resume this season again, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later, but there is just as much of a likelihood of this thing bleeding into the June, July summer months as it does, you know, ending in the next few weeks. But do you think that, if you're in Major League Baseball's position, do you consider a shortened schedule? Do you just make sure that you start up and you play the full 161 and that you have the full slate and you go into the winter time? How do you handle this if you're really starting to deal with those time crunches?
Well, I think what they've done, Lindsay, right now at this point, they have some graphs that show if you start on this date, you could play this many games from, you know, May 15th. I'm not saying it's May 15th. I'm just throwing this date up.
Mm-hmm.
May 15th or June 1st, you know, would you finish mid-October, the end of October? You do have issues in the Northeast and in the upper Midwest. So what do you do for World Series? Do you pick a because you're not forever in New York or Boston or something. I mean, L.A. is no problem. The weather is going to be fine year-round, so that's not an issue. There are other places that have domes. In fact, you've got, when you look at the way that Major League Baseball's map is laid out, you have half the teams either play with a roof that's either retractable or not, or in warm weather areas. So you get 15 that don't. So, you know, let's say the Minnesota Twins are in there in November. You got to want
like
to play baseball in November? No. But, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs, White Sox even, you know, people like that, the weather would be absolutely brutal and really wouldn't be any kind of a playing field that anybody want to be, you know, these subjects. They do have the numbers, and they've looked at all these possible days, and they have these ongoing contingencies. Like everybody else, I mean, Major League Baseball doesn't have many on when people are going to be, you know, able to get back out into the workforce. And the sports world is a very big part of the workforce. You know, it's not the games being played. There are so many people who make a living in sports.
They're losing our connection there with Tim Never. We're going to try to hook back up with him there, Lindsay. He was obviously giving us, he was giving us a pretty good dive there into kind of the thought process of playing later on in the season. So we're gonna try to reconnect with him. Obviously, cell phone coverage is a little bit different depending on where you live and where you hang out.
Right,
sure.
And he's in New Hampshire, so they're living free or dying up there. So God knows what kind of phone connection is going on.
Do you have like cell phones in New Hampshire when you live?
They do have some phones in New Hampshire. They have almost every. They definitely have more than Wisconsin, I will say that. And they have Manch Vegas, which is a great, great bar.
For sure. I think we have Timmy Nevert back on the line with us, Los Angeles Dodgers play-by-play broadcaster. To piggyback on what we were just talking about, Timmy, are you in favor? Bud Black says he wants to play a lot more doubleheaders. Is that actually reasonable with Major League rosters right now? Would they have to kind of flex a little bit and add a few more bodies to actually make that happen?
Yeah, I think that would be possible. I agree with Buddy. I think that would be a good way to do it. They already have a rule in place where you get an extra player for a doubleheader. This year they've added an extra roster spot to begin with, so you have a 26-man roster, and for doubleheaders you can add a 27. My guess would be that, you know, we'll see how long this goes. I mean, they might have to wipe out the All-Star break, which would be an absolute shame. The Dodgers are still very hopeful that there will be an All-Star break and an All-Star game at Dodger Stadium. But if it comes down to it and time is a big crunch, they might have to use those days. They might also have to schedule some doubleheaders, maybe a couple of months, I would think. And you'd still need to leave some time for doubleheaders in case of inclement weather in the places where you get a lot of that stuff. So I would think that that doubleheaders are going to be something that we would see for sure.
Now, Tim, we've seen several pitchers undergo Tommy John surgery already this season. I know this happens each and every year, and I know that you're not a doctor, but it seems like for all the advancements that we've made, not just medically, but in athletic development, when we start them young and as you bring kids up and make sure that you're training them wholly and not just focusing on one position group, why do we see so many guys having this surgery earlier and earlier in their careers and so early into the season? And why is the recovery still such a long fight back to normalcy, or at least just back into the rotation?
Well, I think the recovery part, I'll start there. The recovery part is what it is, because you're talking about the ulnar collateral ligament, which it's in such an area, and that, first of all, requires time to be corrected, because remember, you're taking another ligament from another part of the body, either the hip or the other arm, and adding it to what was currently there. So that's the premise of the surgery. So it takes a while to fuse, and then with the force that these guys use to throw baseball with, they have to get this thing, you know, back and ready to go. I kind of liken it to tightening the spring, so to speak, for these guys' arms. You know, we just saw Chris Sale of the Red Sox had a problem in spring training this year. He had three different opinions, and his final opinion was from Dr. Neil Alotrash, who was the Dodgers team doctor, after he'd already had an opinion from noted Tommy John expert Dr. James Andrews. But after the third opinion, they decided to not do surgery. They just thought it was like a what they call a flexor pronator problem, which is right next to your UCL. And then as time went on, he started to throw again. It turned out it was his UCL, and now he's going to be out for the entire season, no matter how long or short it is. But it takes a long time to recover from that particular surgery due to the type of surgery that it is. Now, as far as starting guys earlier and earlier, I mean, I've even seen where, you know, high school pitchers get it. A lot of college pitchers get it. And it's just because they feel that pop and that something's not right, and it's essentially throwing out your arm. And if you want to have a career, you need to get it done. You know, I know somebody who had it done in college where they said, look, are you going to pitch professionally? And he said, no, I want to be done after college. And they said, well, we suggest you don't get it done. And now, you know, he lives with it. Sometimes it's sore, but it's not unlivable. But at the same time, you have players that are like, yep, get me on the, you know, cut me open, let's get it done. And there are players that have had it multiple times too. I think who was it, Ted Lilly had it a couple of times, maybe three.
Jeez.
And so it's not a pleasant surgery. I've talked to many guys who've had it, and I usually will ask them, where did they take the ligament from? And again, some guys it's in the leg, some guys it's in the other arm or a hip or somewhere, and they'll take a ligament from another part of the body and move it over there. So it's pretty tricky stuff, but they've, you know, a lot of these guys have it mastered.
Mm. Tim Nevert, Los Angeles Dodgers play-by-play broadcaster, joining us here on the Playmakers. With the little time we have left with you, Timmy, first of all, why haven't you done any play-by-play of the snow falling or your personal little, you know, stay-home video? I'm waiting for one of those.
You know, I thought about it, and then I saw some other people doing it, and I didn't want to look like a copycat. So I've been going on hikes with my wife and my dog. I just got back from the hardware store today with a bunch of supplies. I need to do some repairs around the house, which I'm not going to do play-by-play. Yeah, I don't know about that one, Paul. I think that it's kind of a fun idea. And I heard Josh Lewin's cooking of the taquito in the microwave play-by-play. I thought that was pretty funny.
Are you
UCLA boys?
Are you you texting with Rick and Charlie and the crew and things like that? You guys still staying in touch during this hiatus?
Yeah, I heard from Rick a couple of times today. Mostly because every time it snows in New England, he loves to remind me how nice it is down in Florida where he is. So he sent me a couple of texts today, but I hear from him pretty often, and I just told him I'll see you when I see you. I don't know when that's going to be, but. We're all anxious and waiting to get back to work, and we'd really love to get back to Arizona and, you know, back with the ball club and get going again, because this is just something that's so unprecedented. I mean, I've seen work stoppages in the past, but this is nothing like that. This is far worse.
No doubt about that. And Timmy, before we let you go, family's all right? Everyone's good?
Everyone's good. Everyone's good. And keep tabs on all of them. Of course, you know, my son Matt, he's out there in Las Vegas now, yep. And My son Kyle works for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's down in Florida at their complex. Quarantined, too, to the team dormitory. How about that? And then my youngest son is at the University of South Carolina doing online classes now. He's getting ready to finish up, and he's looking to come out to Vegas also. I think he wants to, he's got his eyes on a place out there he'd like to work. So I'm thinking I'd like to see him do that.
Sure, for sure. Well, Timmy, hey, you know, you're always welcome on, and we appreciate you taking a little time out in between shoveling snow and building projects that you won't want anyone to see.
Well, see, I got to fix the house up, Paul, because a very good chance that we'll be relocating back to Las Vegas before this calendar year is over, and I'm looking forward to that.
Right.
I think that's what we've decided to do is go back to Vegas and then commute to L.A. from Las Vegas, just like our friend Oral does.
Yeah, for sure. Fantastic. Well, we look forward to having you out here, and we'll get you back on hopefully before the season starts sometime soon, all right?
Yeah, anytime. You know, I'm sitting here doing nothing, so I'm happy to do it.
All right. Timmy, appreciate it, man. Have a great night.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Tim Neverett, play-by-play broadcaster for your Los Angeles Dodgers, who you would be hearing the game tonight if things had gone to plan on this planet. But you would have heard opening day actually in 2 days from now. We would have had an afternoon game kicking off the year at Dodger Stadium. It's amazing how quickly things change, Lindsay. Even Mark Bonilla just slapped the counter really hard after I said that out loud.
Oh, absolutely! It's crazy how the world has gone topsy turvy, and as you were reminding all of us last week when the March Madness was going to kick up, it's weird that we're living in the days, but they're not looking like they normally do, and it's kind of a little shell shock every time you think of it. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And coming up next, Lindsay and I'll break down some of the Olympic sports that we might miss this summer.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Remember to take us with you wherever you're headed, especially if you're off to go stand in line for some stuff or going out to have some takeout tonight. Apparently, it's a big takeout night across America. It's takeout night every night at Lindsay's house, right? No? Okay. Maybe not.
Yes, don't forget it. Yes, that means yes.
It is?
Yes.
No, yes means yes.
Yes means yes today.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. Take us with you at the freeradio.com app. Download it for free through the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. Search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the heart.
Heart.
In the upper left-hand corner. To remind you, the breaking news we had for you when we kicked off the show was the fact that the Tyson Fury-Deontay Wilder fight is now off. It was supposed to take place July the 18th at MGM Grand. They're now pushing it into the fall. So it'll be Wilder Fury 3, but it's unclear when it's actually going to be. You know, all combat sports here in Nevada have been canceled. And this date, this July 18th, was essentially a week before the Summer Olympics were supposed to start in Tokyo, which have now been postponed. Unclear if it's for the full year, but it has to be done before the summer of 2021, which is going to throw off a ton of things in terms of the summer games. And, you know, countries will have to figure out who their representatives are going to be in all the various sports and whatnot. But I'm wondering, Lindsay, if there's any Olympic sports that you're going to actually miss out on because there will be no Olympics this summer.
Oh, absolutely. I actually really like the Summer Olympics because it's just there's so many random sports that you just like winter. It's like there's skiing, there's hockey, there's all kind of your normal ones. But this is where they like to get gnarly, where, you know, they got skateboarding. They got two different types of gymnastics. And that's gymnastics is where I like. That's my bit.
You like the rhythm gymnastics where they've got the hula hoops and the balls and things like that?
Believe it or not, I have tried to recreate it with ribbons, and it's a lot harder than it looks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Shockingly. but yeah, I mean, I really like watching table tennis, aka ping pong, as well. Like that gets super intense. But yeah, there's so many random sports that are just fun that I just feel like you could turn on the channel or any of the like 18 that they have during any point, and I'm just like, yeah, this is weird, but I'm here to watch it.
Yeah,
you know?
I find myself glued to a lot of Olympic sports when the Olympics do roll around. And it's funny because a lot of people, I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, during the Winter Games, obviously curling was a thing. And, you know, during the Summer Games, people were trying to find that one kind of holy grail of sport that they would totally latch onto. And ping pong was up there. Beach volleyball, obviously, was a must-see.
Yeah, it's quite popular.
Well, you know, when we had, you know, we had Misty May and Carrie and Carrie Walsh, and you know, you had, you know, such dominant, you know, beach volleyball players, and then you had kind of manufactured, I believe, was swimming. It felt a little manufactured. We were trying to create something which we really didn't need to, because we had gymnasts and track athletes who were kind of already seizing that spotlight. We didn't need a, you know, I mean, Ryan Lochte, you know, congrats to you for getting a reality show out of it, but did I really need it?
Did Lochte even swim in the last Summer Olympics? I'm trying to think. I'm like, Phelps was part of the last one. He's not in. This is his first time in four cycles that he's not in it, I believe. But yeah, I mean, swimming, I can understand, because at least last rotation, that it was kind of the swan song for Phelps. And obviously he's the most decorated gold medalist of all time and American. So we really like to run that into the ground. But yeah, it's tough, because I feel like the curling team and other sports where you feel like I could probably learn how to play that, not necessarily at an Olympic level, but you're like, I could probably be serviceable. Those are the ones that people tend to gravitate towards, especially when you kind of have a team of destiny out there doing really well, even if it's not American. It helps that they're American, but, you know, it's, I like the randomness, but tennis is up there for me. The golf, I was looking forward to as well. But, you know, we got majors for both of those. So it's kind of like a fifth major that only comes around once every blue moon.
Yeah, there were some really vague ones, too, because, you know, I have a friend of mine who says, listen, if you can't determine it via actual points, like physical points scored or time, it's not a sport. He says it's not a sport. So like diving, for example, diving is kind of like judge's call. You know,
well,
it's
so
like,
is gymnastics then and figure skating.
No, for sure. I mean, that's
that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, he suggests he goes, listen, if you can't time it, you can't put a number to it in terms of points. I mean, there's like canoeing.
Have you seen the canoeing though, or when they do the kayaking? It's gnarly.
Yeah,
the courses that they make, it's crazy.
But you're at the whim of a judge. You know, and that's why figure skating was so controversial in Utah and in Salt Lake City, where the Russians won. It was like, really?
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. That's just the nature of some of the sports where you have judges, and it's definitely an imperfect system that, but I feel like for the most part, you know, it kind of what goes around comes around, and as much as the gymnastics or the figure skating hurt us back in the day, like, we've been doing pretty well, at least in both of those teams as of late. So it's been pretty good. But yeah, it's just kind of disappointing, because this is just around the time when we start to learn about which athletes are going to be representing. And then you see which ones they kind of pick for the media darlings, and you start to get to know them really well. I'm probably going to miss the absence of the Olympics, at least a little bit more so than I would, say, baseball or other sports.
Sure, I agree with you. I think the world tends to pause around the Olympics. You see the big break there, and the focus goes to those athletes, the runners and the throwers and the swimmers. You know,
the John Williams songs, it's just unreal.
The equestrian folks. I mean, this is kind of, you know, this is their Super Bowl more than anything else. Yeah, we have you know, we have things like the Boston Marathon, and there are world championships in a lot of cases, and like the America's Cup for sailing, and you know, golf has the Ryder Cup, you know, so to speak, plus at the big, but for a lot of these other athletes, a lot of these other sports, they don't get this grand stage to show themselves off, whether they finish first or whether they finished, you know, 85th, you know, in like archery or whatever it is. You know, it's like, at least you made it.
Yeah. And this is definitely, obviously, the Summer Olympics harken back to the original Olympics, you know, back in ancient Greece and whatever. So it's just, it's weird. It's definitely a special time, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of handle this, because as you said, Paul, they have to get it in within the calendar year. Otherwise they have to redo all the trials. And then that's a whole nother can of worms that we would have to sort through. That would be extremely tough.
Yeah. Well, you know what, you know what a training schedule's like, you being the athlete that you were, Lindsay, you know what that year round training schedule's like for these folks. You know, I mean, some of it's just about timing too. You know, horses get older, equipment gets updated, you know, you're looking at, you know, just different variables and, you know, whether or not you can stay healthy. You know, there are some athletes, you know, who were probably trying to plan to have families, you know, immediately after the games. And now they have to put some of those things on hold, you know, sure. to do those kinds of things, you know, just based on what kind of athlete that they were, what kind of sport that they played in.
Right. And you have to think, too, I mean, the Olympians, 99.9% of them don't make that much money. And all of these people are usually doing this as their full time career. And so the money's already tight. So for their training to kind of get taken away, you're like, oh, well, they have all this time. Well, what do you want them to do? Go get a job since there are so many people are hiring. So and we don't even know about insurance situations with them either. So there's a lot of things that get put up into the air when you start moving this stuff around. But that just kind of illustrates how serious of a situation that we find ourselves in and how serious we should all be taking it if we are picking up and uprooting this much of a storied tradition and trying to make it work as best as we can.
Up next, it's time for our daily check-in. That's on the way.
CBS Sports Radio. You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
This is your reminder. It's time to wash your hands. Even more important, germs and dirt in the nooks and spaces of your rings. Visit our trusted friends at Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers to sterilize and clean those germs away. There is no charge and your hands will be safer. Speaking of safe, there are a lot of celebrities, influencers, and athletes who are safe at home as they continue to remind us that they are just like all of us.
All of us.
Lindsay, do we have a video today of our daily check-in?
We do indeed, Paul. And because 3 plus 5, 35 is my hockey number and my goalie number. So you get 8 guesses to guess who's talking in this video.
This is a proud name that goes back to 1919, 101 years. Kaywood Service has been here. This is Paul Hoffman, a Red Wings fan, 5'9", 175 pounds, 34 years of service. This is like having Gordon Ramsay come to your house and having make microwave popcorn. He's going to put on a windshield wiper. All it's right. A clamp apparatus that snaps around to the driver's side windshield. It snips on like that, clamps down like that, and it's flat on That's the windshield. It. And what? Let's go Wings?
Go Wings.
Yeah, I have no clue who that is.
Get out of here, Paul.
I have
Come
no clue
on.
Who that is. Bob Uecker.
Come on. No. Oh my God. I thought this was a toss up.
No, you guys doing play-by-play. The guy's doing a play-by-play of a windshield wiper installation.
Yeah, but oh my God, Paul. Come on. You gotta start guessing.
Does he call sports?
He does.
Is he a hockey commentator?
He is.
Is he a well-known hockey commentator?
He is.
Is it a male?
Yes. Come on,
I
Paul.
I have no clue.
Oh, my God.
I literally have no clue who that is.
You
I
are
got four,
so
I got four,
lucky I'm
I
not
got,
in that studio
I
right now.
I got four in. I got four
oh
in.
Oh, my God. It's freaking Doc Emrick. He's the
oh,
hockey.
Oh, it's
he
Mike
is the,
Emrick.
He is the Paul.
I didn't write. I haven't heard him in like
oh
weeks.
Oh, my God.
yeah, sorry.
Oh, my God. I'm like, honestly.
Sorry.
It's okay. I guess it's okay. I mean, I guess we'll have to be better tomorrow, but, like, it's Doc.
Literally, there are 6 billion people on this planet. I did not recognize Doc Emrick's voice. I didn't.
Honestly,
I remember it's being filtered, like, 3 times.
If I could ever, like, have him just do some of my old videos, like, of me playing, or even just, like, an introduction, I would pass away. Like, I would lose my mind. That is a life goal for me. And you can't even reckon. Oh,
listen, well done for Doc Emrick for making that happen.
He's a professional.
It was an amazing windshield wiper call. It really was.
I would just do that all day if I were him.
You should.
Just make people,
you should.
Just
because,
make people's days.
Yep. Total social distancing there.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping
well,
up
he
next
was standing on the other side of the car, so he was the correct amount of distance away. Okay. Doc is practicing the correct amount of distance.
No, I wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure. You're going to tweet that one out? Can you tweet that one out on your social?
I found it on the Instagrams, but I can't tweet
gotcha.
It out.
Yeah, you
I
need to make sure that happens. You cannot publicly shame me for not knowing Doc Emmerich's voice.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
As a play-by-play aficionado, I should have known that one.
Yeah, especially him, but it's okay. We won't hold it against
you. I got four questions in. I got close. It was like hockey commentator, male. Like
literally,
talkie.
I thought this was the most tossy of ups. Like, I thought this was the biggest.
Sorry.
Oh, but that's okay. At least we know that you're not as in tune as we thought you were.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I want to thank Mark Bonilla for making things sound nice. Live from the LB35 studio, Lindsay joining us once again, and she is not off to watch
sports.
High fives and orange slices, everyone. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Stay healthy, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.